I lied every chance I could get. Did you smoke dope this week? Nope. I was a habitual liar. My wife stood there one day holding a, this is like 15 plus years ago, holding a pack of Marlboro box that I had. And she said, "Are you smoking weed again?" And I said, "No." Well, she was hiding it. She weren't holding it. I didn't know she was holding it. And she pulled it out and said, "Then what's this that I found in your little stash spot in your little Dakota pickup truck?" I lied to her. "Honey, I'm going to get a gallon of milk. I'll be back in a minute." 3 months later, I showed up and forgot the gallon of milk. I lied to her. But today, my wife will say, "I am one of the most brutally honest men you know." Today. Because, see, the truth can only come back to be one thing. The truth. You said something about an old lady asked if she looks old today. If my girls, and I had several girls in my house that I raised, and if they asked me how them spandex looked on them, I didn't say, "Oh, you look hot, go wear them." I'd say, "You look bad in them." Now, I didn't, my petite little girls. But I didn't want them going out there flaunting that stuff around all those dudes out there in the world. But what's your lie? There comes a point where your best friend, that your road dog or whoever it is, you know he just robbed that place right there because you were the getaway driver. You lied to the police. Or you became a bank teller and told on everything. We pick and choose our lies. But when does enough become enough and we learn integrity with Jesus Christ? And we learn to tell the truth. I'm a director of a rehab facility, transitional living facility, and I have at times had to go to the boys with the brutal truth. But you earn respect by telling them the truth rather than sugarcoating what you see or what you do or what you bring or how you respond to them. What's going to happen if they find out I'm a liar? You think they're going to want to listen to a pastor that lies? What if Gons lies from the pulpit up here? You think many people are going to fill these pews? The most important ethical guideline for many people is, if you don't get caught, it's okay. The second is, if you get caught, deny it. That's what the world thinks nowadays. The drug test that you just gave to some dude watching you is dirty, and you deny it all the way till you send it to the lab to get tested, and you just wasted the government, state's money, time, and you'd lie all the way to Wendy Davis, Fran Gull, Kern, whoever else you're in front of, until they say, "This ain't my first rodeo." And then all of a sudden you remember the truth when you're sitting in that box, getting threatened with going back to Westville or whatever ville you go to. God looks at things differently. He wants us to tell the truth, to be people of integrity and honesty. Huh. Even if no one catches us doing something wrong or being dishonest, God wants us to tell the truth. Huh. After all, don't you think God already knows the truth? And don't you think your case manager already knows the truth? But yet we're going to deny it? But every single person in here, but one or two of you say, "I hate to be lied to." Why do we lie to others? Conveniency? Young, what's your name?
Cat.
Cat? My kids one time, dude, they were little dogs, just itty-bitty little kids, man. And we were going to Poke Hagen in that same Dakota pickup, Dodge Dakota. I'll never forget it. They were so small, they could sit between me and my wife as we were going up 69, and I went to pass somebody, and I was on cruise control. So the little cruise control accelerators were right on the steering wheel. So I pushed it, turned on the turn signal, and started going. Well, my little boy, who's now 24, was just 4 or 5 years old, whatever, he said, that went by itself. And I said, yes, it did. And I said, I can make it slow down, too. Now, he's not watching my thumbs. He's watching my feet. And I said, truck, go faster. It took off. I said, truck, slow down. It slowed down. And this kid thought it was the best matchbox he had ever seen in his life. This thing worked by voice control. My wife, sitting over there by the door, said, don't do it, under her breath. I said, what? And she said, don't lie to them. My first response is, well, when they ask about Santa Claus, I'm telling them, here's ho, ho, ho. You know, I'm Santa Claus. They ask about the Easter Bunny, I'm telling them, I put on ears and put your money in your eggs. I hide your stuff. But it dawned on me right then and there, just as it did the cat, if we start lying to them when they're little, will they believe us when they're older? And we have to make a decision. It is not okay to lie. It is not okay to be dishonest. I have one brother that's in my home that, dude, when I first picked him up, I thought, this dude is the best con man that I've ever seen, better than me. I really thought that. But then I got to know him, and I got to see how his relationship with the world was changing into the relationship he has with true brothers, but most importantly, with his Heavenly Father. And the dude was just became amazing. He tells you he could do something? Guaranteed, he could do it. A man of phenomenal skills. Could listen to something and go right there and fix it. But when I first picked him up, I thought, this dude is so full of the poo-poo, we need to pull over to a gas station and let him go in and go dookie. Let's look at what God says about telling the truth. As you will see, God's standards are high. So it was crazy. Jeff said, hey, what scriptures are we going to tonight? And I said, bro, I'm bouncing all over the place. So much so that I had to print out where I was headed with these scriptures. Just a guess. And you can just throw out the answer. How many times in the Bible do you think honesty is referred to?
365.
How many?
365.
That's close, but you must have a bigger Bible than mine. And you could be right, depending on the version, I would say. I have 100 scripture references that have it about honesty. 100 scripture references. Proverbs 19:1. And we only, it's like 100 bottles of beer on the wall. We'll work our way down. Just kidding. Don't go to sleep. Proverbs 19:1, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than the one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. 2 Corinthians 8:21, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. How many of you ever went into your caseworker knowing you messed up and told the truth? I was facing 104 years to life, 3-strike habitual offender, never going to see the outside of a prison cell again. And this pastor came in that had actually led me to Christ, and he said the stupidest thing I could have ever heard out of a preacher. He said, you need to tell the truth. I was a gangbanger. I'd rode for 20-plus years with the club. I had just burglarized, robbed, tried to commit suicide, all these different things. I almost hit a state trooper head on for, tried to get him to kill me, suicide by cop. And he said, not only tell the truth about this particular case, but everything you've ever done. And I said, what? Dude, they might as well just throw the electric chair at me. I'll never see the outside. But I only know two of us that did that. And it's ironic, one of them comes here to Faith Base as well. He had Wendy Davis as a judge. I had someone clear out on the West Coast. And I started writing my story. Because, see, they could never come back and get me about anything. Never. But see, I believe it was because honesty is the best policy. It might hurt for a minute, but you never have to worry about what you said to somebody. Because if they ask you the same thing again, guess what? You'll be able to tell them the exact same thing again because it was the truth. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. I want him to be happy about what I do. I already had him hang his head low more than once. I tell him he wrote my name in, with number two pencil in the book of life because he had to erase it more than once or twice, according to my thoughts. But today I know it's in permanent marker. And so if the lights go out here right now or I was to die in any way, shape, or form, I know I would dance with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Peter 3:10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. We're men. Well, I'll just talk to the men for a minute. 13-step house is same group of men that are at this house or this house or this house. We all are at a halfway house. We'll sit there and watch football. One person likes Green Bay and another person likes L.A. Well, it's pretty mutual. Everybody cheering it on until about the fourth quarter. And about the fourth quarter, it's 21-20. And then all of a sudden, it starts getting heated in that living room. Are you stupid? We're yelling at a TV. And then some knucklehead that wanted the winning team over here starts yelling at you because you're yelling at his team. Next thing you know, all the integrity and the respect that we just had flew out the window. That's effing crazy. You see that stupid effing... And dude... We sound like we a bunch of warriors in the bar drunk. And we're in a halfway house to get our lives together. And we sound like we're in a UFC fight. In the spectator side of it. Many of us are comfortable lying. I was comfortable with it. I ain't gonna lie. Oh, yeah, that was a pretty good pun. Not one of you even laugh. Y'all wake up, dude. In our culture, even our Christian culture, lying is often treated as harmless. In fact, many of us lie automatically without even a second thought. Without even a second thought. Much of the time, we aren't even aware we are being dishonest. We become so good at it, we believe our own lies. We believe the lie that we just told to the probation or parole or our own spouse or girlfriend or significant other. We may exaggerate, change the facts just a little bit so we look good. Noah. We would even tell the police officer we didn't know we were speeding. He just got pulled over tonight in that nice little red car out there doing 82 and a 55. Uh-oh. By God's grace, he wasn't driving the Dream Center van that he runs at 85 and the 60, in front of us off, because we both do it. How many of you have ever cheated on your income taxes? Huh. Here's a good one, sitting in halfway house. How many of us have exaggerated about our past to make it look good, to make it sound good to the person we're talking to? Yeah. Toby, don't point one at you when you got four pointing back at you. How many of you have filed a false insurance policy, insurance claim? I had that one thrown at me the other day, and I had a choice. I got a couple of really nice vehicles now, a couple of really nice ones, but they have some issues. I could have went ahead and been dishonest with the insurance company and said, oh, that wasn't on there when I insured it, and then turned it in as it happened after I got full coverage insurance. Ooh. Hmm. Who do you think is the father of lies? The devil. The devil made me do it. Remember old Flip Wilson? Some of you younger ones? The devil made me do it. Huh. Devil can't make you do nothing. He can plant the idea. The Bible's first recorded lie was when Satan misquoted God to Eve. In Genesis 3:1. You can find it and read it there. Jesus may have been referring to that when he confronted a group of Jews and said they belonged to their father, the devil. He then said the devil was the father of lies. Have you ever noticed that you grow more in honesty the more you grow closer with the relationship with Jesus Christ? That just turns the throttle up a little bit. That just should energize us. The more that we pray and ask him to change our lying lips, the more we acknowledge he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the less likely we should want to lie. Because see, the closer we grow to God, the more we become like him. Do you want God to be seen in who you are? And yet we're still lying? Honesty is critical to a deep relationship. You two sitting right there, if you lie to her, I bet you she ain't going to be letting you sit like that much longer. But you want a deep relationship. So do you only tell her the stuff on the surface? Or do you tell her the roots, the things that really impact what your relationship can be? Same thing right here. She's already put up with enough of you. I can say that to him because I love my brother and he knows I'm just messing with him. But see, I'm not talking about either of you two couples any different than I talk about myself. I lied to my wife so much, dude, and if she wouldn't have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would be back out doing what I did. But see, I had to rebuild the trust again by being honest. Now when I say I'm going for a gallon of milk, I go to CVS and I'm back home in 3 to 5 minutes. And the milk's cold. You cannot have a deep, honest relationship without being honest. You're honest to your wife. I already know. You're that kind of guy. You bring honesty to us, to me, to many people that you mentor. Wyatt Mullinex, I don't know how many of you know him, but that's been my mentor for 20 plus years. And he's never once lied to me. Told me some things I didn't want to hear. But he never once lied to me. He always told me the truth in love. We have to choose honesty instead of telling the little lies. We have to choose to be honest. It's easy to think that little lies are harmless. Huh? However, before you know it, you will become more and more comfortable lying. And it can become a habit. Practice telling the truth throughout the day. You sit there every day and listen to people across the desk from you. We were talking a month ago or something. We know when they're lying. Why? Because we sat across from somebody else and told the same stories they're trying to tell us. God takes our misery of where we used to be and turns it into a ministry of where he's called us to be. We have to choose honesty even when others around us are being dishonest. We have to choose honesty even when others around us are being dishonest. You drop a $100 bill on the floor. Two people, one sees it, picks it up, the other one's seen you dropped it. And you turn right around because you just had the other in your pocket and you turn around, well, it's gone. Would you prefer the dishonest one or the honest one? Here, man, you dropped this. Here's your $100 back. Or the one that said, dude, you must be out of your mind. I didn't see it. $100 nowadays is a lot of money. I would prefer the honest one to say, here's your $100. But would you be that honest? That's a question you have to ask your own self. Telling the truth doesn't mean sharing everything you know. I mentor dudes. And my wife has learned not to ask me how it went when I've mentored them. Because there's some things we protect our wives from. Pastor knows. I bet you don't go home and tell your wife everything that a congregant talked to you about. That isn't omitting the truth. It's just some things you have to keep because of your integrity. There's some things that you have to be able to know that you have just one person besides God knowing. Some people think that since God wants us to be honest, they must fully answer every question people ask. That's not true. If someone asks how much money you make, how heavy you are, or who you voted for, you are under no obligation to share that information. You could simply say, I prefer not to answer that. My age, I'm a little older than Toby. Man, a lot older than Toby, but we grew up, you don't ask somebody how much they make. You can ask them maybe about what you make an hour. And then there's some factories, you don't even want to ask that. Because one dude next to you is making minimum wage and you're making $22 an hour. You don't want to brag. Because that dude that's making minimum wage just started that job, and in order for you to be able to keep the job you promoted up to, they got to have those kind of guys in the factory. Telling the truth does not mean sharing everything you think. However, if you think this would cause someone severe pain or cause severely damaging results, ask your pastor or another mature Christian to answer those questions. There's a lot of questions I don't know that I'd say, hey, go ask Gons about. He's been doing this for a long time. Go ask Wyatt about. You can refer on different questions in life and not have to come up with some lie, and you can still keep your integrity and be honest. I don't know everything. My 15-year-old knows everything. Just ask her. There's a verse as we're getting ready to wrap this up that it's found in Colossians 3. Actually, Colossians 3, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the images of its creator. Family, if we remember that scripture and we go to sit in front of our parole officer or community corrections or something, we don't have to lie to them no more. Because see, if we're doing what's right, we don't have to lie to them because we are caught doing what's wrong. Wendy Davis, Fran Gall, Judge Kearns, all them will lock you up in a heartbeat if you lie to them. But if you talk to them, they will help you any way they can that's not illegal or immoral. They will help you in a recovery program. They'll help you in a faith-based program. They'll help you in a 12-step program. They will help you. But it all comes back to you. You have a choice. Be honest in everything you do, and you will not have to lie about nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to break down what you have taught me this week, is honesty is the best policy. You have taught me, Lord Jesus, that it doesn't matter how, where, why, but if you're walking out a lie and you're not honest with people, then you're disrespecting them. But most importantly, you're disrespecting ourselves. Lord, I pray right now that as this message came up on me just hours ago, Lord Jesus, of what to bring to tonight's meeting, Lord, there's that one in this room that needs to know this was for them. There's that one in this room that has made something up today that was dishonest and does not show the integrity of who they really are in you. So I pray right now, Lord, we're going to just take a few moments and just be silent. And that they repent to themselves to you, God. That you will hear their voice, Lord Jesus, which we know you do. And that you will forgive them, Lord. So that when they walk out of this room, this sanctuary, this beautiful chapel, Lord, that they'll be whole and free. And this is the voice of truth, that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again to send the Comforter here with us and to reign in our lives. So go in peace. In Jesus' name we pray. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen.